ओम ज्ञानति मिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकाय चक्षुर्निमितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति सुपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सहगणवृन्दं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललितां शीर्षकान्विताश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते कुपेशगोपिका कान्तनाथाकान्तनमुष्टिते तत्काञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये कृपा सिन्धुभिश्चपतितानुभवेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्दशैलविग्रहाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण So we have just under 50 minutes to talk about Vaishnava culture, which is a huge topic. We can hardly start to begin discussing that. Did any of you see that book I made, that Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life? That describes many of the features, practical anecdotes. Anyway, first of all, what are we talking about when we say culture? Often when we think about culture, we think about music, art, literature, dance, literature, all these things. So that is one facet of culture, but in the broadest sense, culture means the whole way of life of a people. And the way of life of the people means how they do everything, what they do, what their goals are, how they interact with each other, down to minute details. Just like in British culture, there are important things like don't put your elbows on the table when you're eating your roast beef and other things like that. So very great, very details. So in Vaishnava culture there are also many details. The center of this, the activities of Vaishnava culture, are hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna in the association of devotees. But there are many details, just like we see in the Nectar of Devotion, there are a list of 64 angas or parts of devotional service, some of which are they give more details, offering that we should offer obeisances, we should circumambulate the temple, and then in the point-by-point description, there are more details given. One should not offer obeisances with only one hand. So like this, there are many details. Any culture, or in the sense of way of life of a people, it's based on the worldview of that people, or the philosophical outlook of that people. Just like here we see in London, especially in central London, there's a very strong emphasis on enjoy the senses. A very competitive society, everyone is trying to get ahead of everyone else. So the whole culture is very much influenced by this, to show how much money you have, which kind of car you have, and how people interact, how they behave. As Vaishnava culture is based on philosophy of understanding the absolute truth, as described in the Vedic literature, that human life is meant for God realization. That's Vaishnava culture. Vaishnava culture, that is part of the Vedic culture. The whole Vedic culture, that's the Varnashram system, which is meant for Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradite Panta Nanya Tattva Shakaram The whole Varnashram culture is based on satisfying Vishnu. But within the Varnashram culture there are karmis, or materialistic people, gyanis, or persons interested in cultivating the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, yogis, those following the yoga system, and bhaktas or devotees. But even the karmis, the materialistic people, still their materialistic propensities are guided by the Vedic literatures. So they still basically follow the Vedic culture. Although their goal is sense gratification, but they know that for every action there is a reaction. Therefore we have to act very carefully. That is missing in modern life, that people think that, well, when you die, everything is finished. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kim puna agamano bhavet. This is the originally propounded by, not originally, but in ancient times, by Charvaka Muni, great atheist in India also, a renegade within the Vedic culture, said that, why should you bother? When the body is died, it's all, everything's finished. Nothing, there's no coming back. So his formula was then just enjoy life. Virankritva agritam vivet, by eating ghee. Beg, borrow or steal, eat ghee. That was his idea. Enjoy life. So this, if we have the idea that life is finished with the end of the body, then what is left to do but eat, sleep, drink, mate, defend? For tomorrow we shall all be dead. And now we see this. This is modern life. The Vedic culture has a different basis altogether. It's a very, very different way of life, which we can still see to some extent, even today in modern India. More and more that's breaking, it's very much broken down in the last few years due to the influence of Western-style TV has come and has very much spoiled the culture. But still, just like now, you'll see in January, the Kumbh Mela is coming up. And still, even today, despite India's very much fallen condition from previous, and still, so maybe 2 million people will visit for taking bath at the Triveni, at Prayag. So that feeling is there still. But to a large extent, the culture is broken down. Still, we see many places, many people who are following that to some extent. We have descriptions from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, the different Puranas. And even from Srila Prabhupada, he used to tell so many different anecdotes from his own life. He related in his books and in his conversations how the culture was going on. Just like one story, there are so many, but he was saying how he used to see in Ahmedabad that in the street there'll be this push cart, I don't think they have a hand cart, it's pushed by hand, with some heavy load on it. So the, on one side the man is pushing, on the other side the wife is pushing, and the baby is sitting on top of the load. And they're pushing the load, they're earning their money like that. So Prabhupada said that even though they have to earn, he saw that even though they have to earn their living, but in a very difficult way, still there's no question of divorce. The family is, even though it's going to, it's very difficult, poverty-stricken condition, they have to push that handcart in the heat, which you can't imagine here. Hot sun, but still there's no question, they'll go on, in great difficulty they'll go on with that. Of course that's not only in Indian culture, that was previously there all over the world. But Prabhupada told many anecdotes like that, even how his own mother, she used to eat with her left hand, which in Indian culture you only eat with your right hand. But she took a vow that she will eat with her left hand until her son notices, it means himself, when he was a young boy, then she'll change. So that may be said some superstition, but in the Vedas it's said that the first guru is the mother. That doesn't mean that simply the position that the mother sits on a Vyasa son or anything like that. But practically, the mother is the first to teach. The teaching begins very early in life. Even before the children can comprehend, I've seen this, that in Bangladesh, as there are many years, the Hindu women will bring their little children who they can't even talk or walk, and they'll bring them and physically bow them down. They don't know what, the baby has no idea what's going on. They'll touch their head to the ground in front of the deities, or they'll come up to a sadhu and touch the baby's head. So they begin at the beginning, even before the children are ready, they'll put charanamrita in, the baby doesn't know what's going on. But they'll start, at the very beginning of life, they'll start teaching these things. So what happens is that by the age of 5 years old, they automatically know. As soon as any sadhu comes or they go to the temple, automatically they'll bow down. And that will stay with them for their life. So the training begins very early. The children, the boys traditionally would go to Gurukul at age of 5, but even before that, they'd have so much training, all these little details that don't eat with your left hand, eat only with your right, and that's some hygienic principle, because the left hand is used for less hygienic purposes. So all these details are taught within the Vedic culture. There are different principles for auspicious life. One should rise early in the morning. Rising after dawn is considered sinful. One should rise early. Why is it considered sinful? Because early morning, that is the best time for spiritual advancement. So, and human life is meant for spiritual advancement. So if you rise late, then you're spoiling your human form of life. You're wasting it. It's a crime. Therefore, there's a sinful reaction for rising late in the morning, for sleeping through the dawn. So all these things are taught from very young age, so that even children, when they go to the Gurukul, then already they've been taught so many things. So like this, culture is generally imbibed from, in any culture, it's imbibed from a very young age, and it affects every part of life and the whole consciousness and way of thinking. Just like, to give it then, this may be an extreme example, but it's very demonstrative that previously there was the custom of sati, in which women would, after their husband died, they would, as his body was being cremated, they would enter the fire. Now the British stopped this when they were ruling, because it was sometimes being misused. But even actually, what was that, 10 years ago, that Roop Kanwa in Rajasthan, some young, she was what, 19 years old or something like that, 20 like that. She voluntarily, her husband died, and she voluntarily entered the fight. So they, even until recently, there have been cases, they do so voluntarily. Now that's considered, In the Western world, no one can understand, it's just considered like murder or something like this. But they don't understand that people have so much faith that the soul continues to live after the death of the body. So they don't feel that the destruction of the body is something very bad. They consider that anyway, you know, we died so many times. But the wife's duty is to follow the husband throughout life, and even to the next life. So they're trained like that from a very young age, and that's the whole meaning of their existence, that for the women, how they serve their husbands and help him to advance in spiritual life, and then whatever destination he gets, they follow him like that. So it's a joint effort. So that's an extreme example, but how in the Western countries, people can't understand this at all. But in India, that was what, somewhere near to Jaipur, somewhere in Rajasthan, fairly near to Jaipur. So the people, they praised that, oh, this is so much faith. She praised that she's become a great saint by doing this. So we can see there's such a difference in outlook. Even we see that in our Krishna conscious movement, if we tell that, well, we don't want our children to watch TV, drink, smoke, all these things, and many people think, oh, you're spoiling them, you're mistreating them. But it's a completely different outlook. And that's why devotees, they need to imbibe this Vaishnava culture, because without that, we won't get the different outlook which is needed. Krishna consciousness is a completely different way of looking at the world. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham napanashati sachamai napanashati. Krishna says in the Gita that a Vaishnava, a devotee, he sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, and thus he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. So a devotee's way of seeing is to see Krishna. He wants to cultivate that consciousness by which he can see Krishna. So that is that's another meaning of the word culture. It means to develop something. Just like we have yoga culture. You develop and the milk transforms into yoga. So this practice of Krishna consciousness is meant to culture the original consciousness of the soul. So a different outlook is required and a completely different approach to life. Different choices, different behavior. A devotee chooses not to watch TV. A devotee chooses to rise early in the morning and chant Hare Krishna. A devotee chooses to eat only that food which is offered to Krishna, because he knows these things. They are meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Now, to someone who's not Krishna conscious, or to a gross materialist, it seems like spoiling of the human life. They see that as spoiling of the human life, because they think you're young and strong and you should use your energy for enjoying. Enjoy while you can, because it won't last very long. But everybody knows, yes, it won't last very long, so why even bother with it? It doesn't satisfy us now, and it's simply the materialistic life simply ends in frustration, begins in high hope and ends in frustration. So devotee adopts the different practices of Vaishnava culture. We see that Srila Prabhupada introduced so many practices of Vaishnava culture. Prabhupada came from the spiritual world to introduce the culture of the spiritual world so that we can go back to the spiritual world. Now, Prabhupada could have also taught that, well, chant Hare Krishna and wear pants and jeans and all these things. And he said you can also, Prabhupada said you can do that. It's not a bar to being Krishna conscious, but it's more helpful to wear the Vaishnava dress, because it makes you feel like a devotee. You identify with that role. And this is training. We're going back to the spiritual world, because there's no Levi jeans and the spiritual world, or any of these other things. So practically the culture that Prabhupada introduced, we could say it's Indian culture, but that's true, but in a broader sense it's the culture, the Vaikuntha culture, the culture of the spiritual world. Indian culture because India is the one place in the universe which is most favorable for cultivating the Vaikuntha, or spiritual world culture. And it most closely reflects that India is traditionally been the place where people can very easily go back to the spiritual world. The culture is very close to that of the spiritual world. So we are adopting Indian culture. That means traditional Indian culture, the modern cinema music and all that. But not the modern culture, but the traditional culture that is most favorable for becoming Krishna conscious. Now, Prabhupada introduced this, but we see that it's difficult in many ways to follow all these things in the Western world, because culturally it's like swimming upstream. There's a very strong tidal wave of materialistic culture that we live, especially in central London. I mean, even people who come from, say, other parts of Europe or other parts of the world, or other parts of Britain, or even other parts of London, when they come to central London, they feel it's it's very intense. Very intense mood of gross sense gratification. Well, as we're talking about points of behavior, here's one of the details. Prabhupada several times said that during classes, if the curtains open or close, you just go on hearing. You can just offer pranams with your hand, go on hearing. So there's something practical you could learn. There are many practical details like this. So to follow Vaishnava culture in all its details, in this intense situation of grossly materialistic culture, it is more difficult, but it is even more necessary to do so. Otherwise, in such a place, because otherwise, unless we strictly follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, and unless we adopt this culture in our lives, then it's very easy to be swept away by the waves of material life. And we see that many devotees, they take to Krishna consciousness, which requires a big leap from the life that they've been brought up in. For anyone from the Western countries to take up Krishna consciousness means to change their life in many ways, to adopt beliefs and practices which are very different from those of most of the people around them. It's a very great commitment to become initiated in Krishna consciousness, to promise to follow all these rules and regulations throughout life and life after life. It's a very great commitment. But we see that many devotees do that, but then again they go back. At least partially, they compromise with materialistic life. They don't maintain their vows throughout life, and then they may also start thinking like a materialistic person in so many ways. So really, if we're going to protect our Krishna consciousness, having come to Krishna consciousness and having taken this bold step of committing ourselves to initiation, then we really have to commit ourselves to a way of life that will maintain that Krishna consciousness throughout life and life after life, if so required. So it's very much required to follow all these practices. There are many details which, as I say, we only have less than an hour. There's very little time to get into the details. But if we adopt these and follow all these, it will be very useful for helping our Krishna consciousness to develop. Now, many of these, they directly relate to devotional service, many of the rules and regulations. Many of these we'll find in the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada has given that. Rules such as bowing down before the Vaishnavas, taking only Krishna prasad, not turning the back to the deity, not talking ordinary conversation in front of the deity. So these are important rules connected with Krishna consciousness, and there are many others which are followed by followers of the broader Vedic culture, which help to maintain a social system that is conducive for peaceful living and spiritual advancement. Just like this point of bowing down when we see the Vaishnavas. Why do we bow down? Because we think the Vaishnava is a respectable person. So we bow down. This is another thing which in the Western countries, people sometimes they become upset when they see that. They think, why you've made yourself like a slave? Yes. Bowing down means yes, we accept. I've made myself subordinate to you. I accept you as superior to me. Of course, when a Vaishnava bows down to offer his respect to another Vaishnava, the other Vaishnava will also repay that. But this culture of subordinating oneself to others, that's very strong. Even you'll see, I've seen even in Delhi, you'll see it's very common among the Punjabi people, when they'll always, when the young people young means if they may be 30 years old, but if they see their parents maybe 50, 60 years old, they'll touch their feet. Maybe a public place, you know, they'll do it. It's accepted culture. I've seen in Bangladesh among Muslims that even in the capital city, that when all the people are approaching the home, the young people will come out and in the street offer their obeisances to them. That culture is there of offering respect. So in modern democratic society, the idea is that, well, everyone is equal, everyone has equal rights. But an offshoot of that is that, well, if everyone has equal rights, then no one has any responsibility to anyone else. Everyone's on their own. But in that Vedic culture, which I was saying, the mother is the original guru, mother and then father. So the family structure is very strong, and it's not that everyone has equal rights. Not in the family, not in society. Within society there's Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So Brahman is worshipped by the other castes for his knowledge that he gives to human society, for his ideal example, for his renunciation. He is considered a worshipable person. And what he says, that is accepted by others. It's not that what a Shudra says and what a Brahmin says is all the same, because there's a different quality. There's a different quality in their life. So it's accepted that those who are deliberately cultivating higher spiritual qualities, that they should be respected, that it's worth following. And in modern society is democracy in which everyone has an equal say. But what happens is that the whole society devolves to the lowest common denominator. It can't be lifted. Instead of the mass of people following the highest, those who are situated on a platform of spiritual understanding, what happens is that the highest, they have to follow the lowest. They're forced to by law. They're forced to, for instance, be subject to all these advertisements that were everywhere. If there was a Brahminical culture, there'd be no such thing as all these advertisements which simply invoke lust and greed. All these advertisements that you see everywhere, everywhere you move your eyes in the city, there are so many advertisements, but they're simply invoking greed, buy this, buy that. And how do they do that? By lust, because lust, anger and greed, they go together, the three gates to hell. So this is the result of a society that's with the idea, which sounds very noble, that all men are equal, so everyone should have equal rights, and then they say no one should. There should be no exploitation, because they're afraid if someone's given a superior position that one will exploit another. But instead of course that danger is there, but still we see people are being exploited. The whole modern society is simply exploiting people, that their whole goal of life is set that you should get more money and spend it and be happy like this. People are given no spiritual knowledge, simply from the time of their birth they're geared to become a pawn in a society in which they simply have to work hard and all their lives, and they have no meaning what the goal of life is, and they're supposed to be happy if they have enough money to watch football on TV or whatever, drink beer or wine, the culture is that they're supposed to be happy like this, although no one's happy. No, there's no spiritual realization, and it's society simply full of lust, anger, and greed. So in Vedic culture, the culture is upheld by giving respect to people who are worth respecting. Now that system did degrade when those of the Brahmana status, they claimed that they should be respected even if they didn't have the qualifications. But if they're actually qualified people, they should be respected and followed. This is an important part of Vaishnava culture, because Vedic culture, because Brahmanas, they will give knowledge. They will teach us what to do, what not to do. They always have to teach. Systematically, that means if someone approaches a Brahmana to be his disciple, then the guru will teach. Traditionally, of course, there are different kinds of gurus, but the children who will go to Gurukul, the brahmacharis, they'll be taught in the Gurukul, minute by minute, by their guru. Others may be brahmanas, householders, living in the village, or traveling, usually in a small area, giving instruction. Guru, of course, doesn't only mean Diksha Guru, or one who initiates, but as I was saying, there are so many gradations within society. The mother is Guru. Why Guru? Not just because she's older, but because she teaches the daughters and daughters-in-law how to behave, what to do, how to cook, all these different things. So in Vedic society, everyone is responsible. Everyone has to take responsibility. And everyone is trained from a young age. And as they get older, then naturally they start to teach those who are younger. This is the parampara system by which knowledge descends. Now, that system has to a large extent been broken down. That's why Prabhupada said that he said that the world is in an emergency situation, is in crisis situation, social crisis, because society without being based on spiritual knowledge is simply a fool's paradise. So Prabhupada said that he wanted to create a new class of brahmanas who could give knowledge to human society in all aspects. The basis is spiritual knowledge, Bhagavad Gita as it is, to understand what the purpose of life is and how to act to attain that purpose of life. But traditionally, brahmanas in all areas of knowledge, especially very practical knowledge for people living at home, which means most of society, they would give knowledge of medicine and astrology, all these different, but all aspects. We see even Dronacharya, even he was teaching fighting, which is also a necessary part of human society. So Prabhupada wanted to create a class of brahmanas, which means learned people who can give knowledge to the people in general on how to behave, what to do. And they will teach not only by book knowledge, but by practical example, by their very lives. So there are many details, many, many details. Well, one thing is that when the curtains open and close, you can just offer pranams with hands like that and go on hearing. Another important point, not to turn the backs on the deities at any time. There's so much. The Vaishnava culture means that it's based on Vishnu. So in the temples, there is so much culture, how to behave in the presence of the deity, how to behave in the presence of the Vaishnavas. Devotees, they're not supposed to act like ordinary people. Their interactions are supposed to be very respectful, loving, caring. These things cannot be legislated. You can't pass a law that everyone should love everyone else. There's no use to make any such law. But that has to come. Again, that comes from leaders. That a leader, Prabhupada said, leader in Krishna consciousness means leader in hearing and chanting. So it takes the trouble to see how others are hearing and chanting and cultivating their Krishna consciousness. as I was saying, the juniors, they respect seniors, it's very much part of Vedic culture, but reciprocally, the seniors, they take care of juniors in all respects, for their spiritual advancement, for their social welfare, in all respects. So really, Vaishnava culture means a culture of serving Krishna, serving the devotees, seeing the devotees as very dear to Krishna. It's not simply a, as we have in modern life, a pragmatic culture that people may be very polite in business dealings because they're thinking of this, how is that, how to win friends and influence people. If you're nice to people, then it's good for business. So it makes, it's good business sense to deal with people well. So we see that, that people will deal politely when they're doing business with them because it's all part of the business culture, but ultimately they're thinking, how I'm going to get the money out of them. That's what ultimately what they're thinking. But Vaishnava culture, it's not shallow. Real Vaishnava culture is not, it's not dealing with people simply to get a job done, but dealing with people, seeing them as part and parcel, seeing every living being as part and parcel of Krishna, and dealing with every person in such a way that their Krishna consciousness can be awakened and developed. So it's a very deep culture of caring. Srila Prabhupada said that if we study the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if we don't accept him as God, but if we see him as a devotee, see him in his, then we can learn so much about Vaishnava behavior just by seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaved with his devotees. And that's also very true. If you read Prabhupada Lilamrita, we can see what is the behavior of an ideal Vaishnava, how Prabhupada interacted with everybody in such a way that they could become Krishna conscious. Now when we talk about caring for others, it doesn't mean some sentimental, sloppy, wishy-washy kind of behavior. It can be very firm also. You see, Prabhupada was sometimes very strong in his dealings.
Back to James.
Give unto back to James what is meant for back to James. Yeah. That caring doesn't mean this sloppy sentimentalism. Prabhupada, as I was saying, he could be very strong with others. But he was always very, even though he was very strong, of course as guru that is his prerogative, but he always dealt with people in such a way that was best for their Krishna consciousness. Even sometimes, Prabhupada, there's some few occasions where Prabhupada angrily ordered someone, get out of this, get out, ordered him out of the room. And there was one case when there was someone who was speaking in such an offensive manner that Prabhupada just told him to get out, because that was better for his Krishna consciousness. Because the more he stayed, the more he'd make offenses. So it's to understand how to behave as a Vaishnava, it requires a change of outlook, change of consciousness. We're already doing that in so many ways, but part of the basic principles of Krishna consciousness begin with rising early, chanting early, and these are the basics of Vaishnava culture. But how it affects every gesture we make, every thought we have, every dealings the way we deal, the way we speak. That Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is the behavior of a self-realized person? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he talk? Krishna answered that as a self-realized person, everything he does with sense control. His senses are controlled. So that is the difference between materialistic culture and culture based on self-realization. Materialistic culture, one is simply trying to enjoy the senses more and more. And every dealing he has with other people is for his own sense gratification. That's why we see people are so much frustrated in the modern age. Because everyone's trying to exploit everybody else. And everybody wants that everyone else should be acting in a way that is beneficial for me. But it doesn't work and everyone is simply frustrated. But a Vaishnava, everything he does is meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. And Vaishnavas interact with each other in that way. And how they can mutually help each other to serve Krishna. And even there may be disagreements. But Prabhupada said disagreements between Vaishnavas, they're spiritual because they're meant for the service of Krishna. If the center is service for Krishna, then even if Vaishnavas disagree, because they're both thinking how to serve Krishna, then that is even a spiritual disagreement. We have, according to my watch, we have 7 minutes left. Are there any questions?
As far as Prabhupada wanted to create the class of Brahmins.
Yeah.
And the Brahmana, as you said, is supposed to be equipped with all type of knowledge.
Well, not every Brahmin knows every branch of knowledge. That's not possible.
Well, what is your understanding of Prabhupada? What kind of training Prabhupada is giving for the devotees, especially young devotees?
Training means, first of all, in hearing and chanting about Krishna, but from the very beginning, Prabhupada expected that all many features of Vedic culture would be there, just like how to put on tilak, taking bath after passing stool in the Western countries, people don't do that. Regularly changing cloth. This cloth is very suitable for that actually. If you wear heavy pants and jackets and all this, it's difficult to keep it clean because it takes so long to dry, but this will dry very quickly, this thin cloth. So many aspects. Prabhupada actually, he wanted Western devotees, not all of them, but many of them as much as possible, to come to India for some time to learn many of these facets of Vedic culture. Prabhupada wanted that. So we should train more, give more training on all these different points. I've been compiling a book on many of these details for quite a few years now, and hopefully should be finished soon. I think every year I come I say it's going to be finished next year, but it still isn't finished. I brought out one book on Vedic Vaishnava culture, introductory book, big one with many details. It's still just now coming, maybe next year. They say it's such a big subject, there are so many points to research and so many things.
For those of us who are going to be in the world outside, for instance myself, I'm a university student, how can we preach by example and at the same time be relevant and accessible to those people who are in so much illusion? They will be repelled by coming across so full-on with such a completely opposite culture to what they're normally used to.
Yeah, certainly to some extent devotees who are living in and preaching in the Western world, you have to live to some extent according to the Western, just like the manner of dealing between people. Here there's a certain way people deal with each other. So if you behave completely, I mean, we can't expect the whole world to change to the way we want it to be immediately. So some adjustment may be there. As far as our own practices are concerned, certainly we should follow them. People may not like that or accept that. But as far as these things of taking only Krishna Prasad, rising early in the morning, chanting the holy names, even if people don't like that, well, we have to do that because there's no Krishna consciousness without that. And even people, I don't think people laugh that much these days. Society's become more, is it? People that they're against this, or they think it's very strange, or what? Society is much more cosmopolitan now.
I feel that for university students, for most people,
it seems too extreme.
Yeah, it does. If you're in Dodi and Tilak, etc.
In Dodi and Tilak, that would seem pretty extreme. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
I can tell a story. I don't have time to tell a story in that regard. But as far as all these things, if people are against it, if you keep on doing it anyway, then they'll come to respect it. In the modern world, there's people are very much against people pushing their ideas on you, although it's all around you. I mean, the materialistic society pushes its ideas on you. You can't walk anywhere without being pushed by this car, by this beer. So they don't complain about that, but if you speak, they have this idea, don't push your ideas on me. So in such a situation, if by our behavior we impress them, I think that would be the most impressive thing. I know I went to a Catholic school and I was turned off because I saw the teachers and the priests and everything. They weren't any better than anyone else, and I just thought it was hypocrisy. That why are they claiming to be religious if they're just as nasty and mean as everyone else? So if devotees by their behavior can show that they actually do have something better, because people who are completely in a materialistic way of life and thinking, they can't understand this high spiritual philosophy. But if they see that someone is behaving in a manner which is not simply to exploit others and not simply cold to them, they may respond to that. It's not easy. It's not easy preaching to anyone, and it's not easy trying to be Krishna conscious in an atmosphere which is completely different. But it is possible by the grace of Krishna. Unfortunately, you have to finish. Unfortunately, we'll have arati. So, fortune and misfortune. Hare Krishna. We can hopefully discuss more about this at a certain point in the future.